and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of the people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today's guest is Maggie Mosier, and she takes us on a journey starting in Akron, circling through Pennsylvania, through Wisconsin, Chicago, and back here in Akron, where she's with us on Grace staff, and really, she's 23 years old, but she is wise beyond those years. What she shares with us, it just shows the depth of growth and of knowing her Savior and how that helps her even through things that maybe are painful and hard. So listen to Maggie's story here and listen for that wisdom that she shares. Maggie, welcome to Unscripted.
Thank you.
Glad to glad to have you here. First question, tough question. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
What is your favorite color?
Well, I used to always say lavender.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to be like purple. You know, I wanted to be like special. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I think I was just trying to like hide the fact that honestly pink, it's so pink. And all my friends liked pink, so I was like, I'll be lavender.
Trying to
but
be a little
pink,
different.
Honestly,
well, my vantage point right now, for those of you listening, I see a pink bag, a pink water bottle, a pink phone case, a pink shirt. Her lips have a little bit of pink.
So true.
Your socks are pink. So
oh my gosh, you're right.
I was definitely going to put my money on pink. So
that's funny.
There we go. I just wanted to give everybody a little viewpoint of what I'm looking at right now. Yes. A lot of pink, and it's beautiful on you.
Thank you.
Makes you shine.
Thanks.
Cool. Well, Maggie, this is a fun one because you and I met under very interesting circumstances, yes, which will probably come out later via the women's retreat. Mm-hmm. But I've also just even in the last 5 minutes learned that I know nothing about you. So I'd love to start at the beginning and find out a little bit about how you were raised, where you were born, where you grew up. Tell me about your origin story.
Yeah. So I was born in Akron, mm-hmm, and which is so funny because I've lived away from here my whole life. So now that I'm back here, it's like funny that that's a normal thing. Like, oh, well, yeah, of course.
But just Akron, okay.
Yeah, so I was born there, here, and then lived in Rootstown growing up.
Okay.
And then Toledo. And then when I was like 7, we moved to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I was there for a while. And then when I was like 10, we moved to Wisconsin. So I was there for the last 10-ish years, and then I went to college in Chicago.
Wow.
And then last summer, my family moved back here to be close to our family, and I kind of had nowhere else to go, so came
with them. Landed back on the landing pad.
Which is weird, because I've never lived here, like, as an adult or even as an older kid, so
yeah. Okay, so you're back in Akron, but not even a memory's forged here at the beginning,
no,
right? Between Rootstown and Toledo, your formative years were not in Akron necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you live in Akron now?
No, I live in Lodi, if you've heard of it.
Yes, I'm a country girl myself,
okay.
Medina County, born and raised, very familiar.
Yeah, so yeah, we're kind of out there, but
awesome.
Yeah, I'm here every day for work. So.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, let's not skip ahead to every day today. Let's keep moving.
Sorry.
So all through all that school, how many did you like go to a bunch of different schools within that as well?
I was homeschooled for elementary school.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
Then for like middle and high school, we were pretty planted in Wisconsin, mm-hmm, by that time. So I went to public school for that.
How does one make their way to Wisconsin? I can't
My dad's an aircraft mechanic. So it's kind of like super specific in like where, you know, jobs are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was like we were in Pennsylvania. That company didn't do well. And then he found like a really huge, awesome company in, mm-hmm, Wisconsin that does airplanes. So,
mm-hmm,
yeah, that's awesome. How we ended up there.
Okay. So then for you, homeschooled, do you have siblings? Were, mm-hmm, they homeschooled alongside of you?
Yeah, I'm the oldest of three girls, and we're like 6 and almost 11 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So for a short amount of time, my middle sister was homeschooled with me, and then I went off to public school, so.
Okay, yeah. So would you call it, sometimes I hear people say, like, oh, I was an only child for a chunk of time because of the age gap. Is that kind of how it felt?
Yeah, it kind of was, yeah, because, you know, she was born when I was, like, almost 6, and then she couldn't really play till I was, like, 8. So it's kind of like, okay, cool, baby, but, yeah. So it did feel that way, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff did you get into as a kid?
Oh, man. I love that question. I love to read. I just read all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like R.L. Stein, Nancy Drew, Boxcar Children. What was your vibe?
Like Anne of Green Gables,
mm-hmm,
and like,
mm-hmm,
Little House on the Prairie and like,
okay,
Magic Tree House.
Yes.
And I did like Nancy Drew. Yeah. All those.
Awesome.
So yeah, I read all the time. I did love school. I loved doing school, and I feel like my mom always made it really fun, and we were part of, like, a co-op mm-hmm. and, like, did kind of fun stuff with them. Yeah, I did piano. I did music, singing. I did, liked art, all those sort of things. I did, like, enjoy athletic things, but we were never, like, in one place long enough for me to do, like, a sport.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was a
just
big reader.
A little bit more individual.
Very artsy.
Individual mm-hmm. stuff. Did yeah. you get involved in any of that stuff when you got into school then? Were you in music theater or anything
yeah,
else?
Yeah, I was a big choir girl okay. in high school, majorly. And I did do theater a little bit, but then couldn't because of time. And I kind of did, like, some worship team things at church and, mm-hmm. Yeah. And in high school I did swim and in middle school.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was my sport. Cause it's like, you don't have to be super coordinated. So
right.
it's nice cause it was more individual, but
yeah. Right. Yeah. Versus the team, you got to sync up with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just do your thing. Okay. So you mentioned that you were in a worship band or worship singing, was faith part of your childhood home? Did you grow up in the church
yeah.
or how was that for you?
Yeah. So I accepted the Lord when I was 4, which like sounds kind of wild, but I really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I got baptized when I was 6 and
wow.
was always in the church my whole life. I grew up in like a pretty intense, like fundamental Baptist environment, up until high school. So that was kind of a unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, always been in the church, always been, you know, in that sort of environment. So
that was a regular part of your family life is
yeah.
having, like, knowing that Jesus is your Savior, praying through hard times
yeah.
and having that faith.
Yep, for sure. And especially with homeschooling, I feel like it was a lot easier to integrate that into, like, our daily life because
yeah.
our school curriculum was a part of that, too. So.
Yeah, and that was something given to you through your parents? Were both of your parents involved in that with you?
Yeah. Well, not my mom, not my dad because he okay. was working, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, this sounds great.
Thanks.
What a wonderful childhood.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what were your dreams? Coming out of school, coming out of high school, did you think you were going to go and mm-hmm. be a singer, a swimmer, just,
yes.
what, were you going to study something? What were your
Yeah, I was,
hopes?
My whole entire life I wanted to be a teacher. And then, like, all throughout high school I wanted to teach, like, English literature and history. So I ended up going to school for that for, like, a year, and that was just, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I thought this my whole life, and then it kind of pivoted my freshman year, and I really just felt like, okay, this is not – I was at, like, a University of Wisconsin, and the education classes I was in were just really intense, like, very progressive, very, like, just a much different approach to education than what I had always kind of been a part of.
Right.
And then it was just, like, kind of a horrible, terrible time for me in general. So
just, like, emotional impact of, getting older and being in college and being away
yeah.
and
well, I was commuting
pressure.
From home, so I feel like that made it a lot harder.
Okay.
And very big, like, Wisconsin is, like, the drunkest city – or, sorry, state in America. So
did you say drunkest?
Yeah, like, just – especially the city I was from, like, literally the whole culture is just, like, you know, that. And
wow.
especially the college I was going to, and so I was commuting, didn't really have community, and then anytime I wasn't in school, I was just working. So it's just, like, not a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my friends came from high school, came home from college, and we were just chit-chatting about the school she went to, which was a Bible school. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that was, like, an option.
Mm.
So I ended up transferring schools. And so then after that, they didn't have, like, a high school education program. So I switched to counseling because I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And it was kind of, like, a spur-of-the-moment decision. And then, obviously, now looking back, I'm like, oh, wow, this is, like, totally what the Lord had for me all along.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was, like, always kind of my dream was to, like, be a mom, be a teacher, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, definitely shifted in what the Lord had set out for me. But
so was that the university in Chicago then that you transferred to?
Yes. It's called Moody Bible Institute.
Oh, heard of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
best
they have,
place in
like,
the world.
Is this, like, downtown Chicago?
Yeah, right in the middle. Like, are you familiar with Chicago at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the river,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, like, sort of right on the river, like, a mile back from, like, the Magnificent Mile.
Yeah.
It's like a mile.
Whoa, right in the heart.
From there.
Okay.
So.
So you went from commuting to a school in Wisconsin where you had mostly been raised as a homeschool student, and now you're living in downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. In like you're like 19, 20 years old.
Yes,
at this point.
I was 18. Mm-hmm.
And your girlfriend was there too? At least you had a friend, like you knew somebody?
She was, but it was like that was right after, kind of in the midst of COVID, and COVID was like super intense in Chicago. So it was very like I got to school and had to quarantine in my room for 2 weeks and knew no one. And it was also like when the riots were happening, so all the buildings were boarded up. It was intense.
You're laughing about this, but that sounds a little traumatic. Was it like, was it actually like hard or dark for you? Was that scary?
It kind of was. Yeah. But that I'm laughing because that just like changed so much over time, but it's just funny to think that at first it was so crazy like that, but yeah.
Okay. So you're in Chicago in like this very urban setting from the places that you've been leading up to this point. You're on your own for the first time, or apart from your family, I should say, for the first time.
Yeah.
And you're studying something new and what's that? How did that go for you? How did your life change at all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't like we lived in a pretty big city in Wisconsin, so it wasn't like wow.
I just
like,
imagine
small town girl in a massive city.
Yeah. Cheese everywhere, cows, and fields.
It's so funny. I feel like nobody knows like what Wisconsin is actually like.
No.
It's so funny. It's so like it's such a random state. But yeah, we lived in a pretty big city, so it wasn't like, you know, crazy. But it definitely was scary, I feel like, more because of a lot of the, like, COVID elements, like, were just really heightened in Chicago. But, yeah, so my first year, I feel like I don't even count my first year as, like, really part of the whole experience because there was just so many, like, crazy
restrictions,
factors.
And
it was also just really hard, like, relationally, too. So, really, my sophomore to senior year, like, genuinely just the best time of my whole entire life. I feel like I came into school being like, oh yeah, you know, like I'm a Christian. I kind of, you know, grew up in the church. So I like sort of basically know everything, like not actually, but I was like, I feel like I have a pretty good handle on things. And then I didn't realize that like, I kind of thought it would just be like Christian centered education. I didn't realize that like all my classes would be like about the Bible and theology. And so for my first year, especially cause it was, like, if we were even in person in the classroom, it was, like, we had to sit super far from people and wear masks. And so like, I was just, like, wow, I kind of hate this. And I'm, like, really not good at it because I was always, like, pretty good at school. And so I just felt, like, so underprepared and, like, behind. And it was just really tough. And then my sophomore year, the Lord just, like, completely changed my heart and gave me such a desire and, such a desire to learn about scripture and about theology. And so that I'm so thankful for that because, at first I was just like, oh, I don't really like this. And that's why I say it was Jesus, because it was just like flip of a switch. And I was like, give me more. And at that same time, like my community drastically changed and was just like everything I had prayed for my whole life. So I feel like the combination of those two things just, it was like the hardest and craziest, but like best time of my life. Completely changed me in every way. Like at the time it didn't really feel like it, but then looking back I'm like, wow, it was just completely like forged in the fire, like craziness. So
I'd love some more details around that, because I'm thinking about people who, you know, not everybody has a big, like, I grew up one way and then something happened that changed my heart and now I have a different perspective from a religious standpoint, right? There might not be the 180, once was lost, now I'm found. Like, you were found at 4 years old. So all of your conscious memory is knowing, loving, following, believing, trusting Jesus. Is that pretty accurate to say?
Yeah.
Like, with hardship, I'm sure, along the way, but still, that foundation, your household sounds very, like a nice nest that you grew up in, maybe. So then when you're in this college setting and you're learning these things and you're going through these other transformations, like, I don't know, did you come across hard times that your faith had to get you through, or what else happened while you're in those years?
I feel like that's how I felt, was like, well, I've never really had any sort of like, you know, big, like, I was dealing drugs on the street and then I met the Lord. And so I always felt like, oh, I have such a boring testimony. But I learned later on, the Lord really taught me, like, what an absolute gift that is to be able to look back on my whole entire life and just to know that the Lord chose me when I was a little baby girl. And, like, just the blessing that that has been to walk with him throughout my whole life. And I just didn't realize that, and I wasn't, like, didn't realize the magnitude of that. But, yeah, so I feel like coming out of high school and then my freshman year of college at the state school, I was just very – it's just crazy how you can be – and I feel like I've seen this in a lot of high schoolers where you can be – a Christian in name, and you think that you are, like, where you should be, like, oh, well, I don't need to improve, whatever, and how the Lord can still, like, radically change who you are, and I think as far as, like, things that the Lord helped me through, I always struggled with really intense, like, anxiety, and so that was, like, probably the only thing that I really needed the Lord to help me with throughout my, like, or thought I needed the Lord for growing up. And so that was definitely still a thing in college. But I feel like the closer I became with Christ and the more I knew about theology, honestly, the more I understood the Lord and the more intimacy I developed with him. And so therefore, like, just throughout some – college was – even though I say it was the best, like, it was so hard. Like, so hard.
Do you mean, like, the classes were hard, or do you mean, like, classes, relationships, like, emotionally, and emotional, mental?
Spiritually, like, everything. Like, we always say that Moody is just, like, a crucible for, like, just teasing out every single part of, like, the worst parts of you and, you know, the most stress you've ever felt in your life. And just so much. And so... just through so many different experiences, the Lord taught me dependence on him and to really, like, rely on my community and others to, like, challenge me, make me better, challenge me to actually walk out my faith, you know, because I never really had, like, super close Christian friends, especially who were, like, really on fire for the Lord that would actually, like, know me and be like, look, girl, you need to work on these things and we're going to talk about it and you're going to be better. And me would be like... yeah, you're actually right.
I need some friends like that.
So it was just, it was really hard. It was so hard, but, like, in the best way.
Right. And maybe a little hindsight making that best out of the hard, like, the beauty from that later, living in the fruit of what all of that created for you. Feels great now, but maybe during those times it was a little stressful and a little hard. So, and I'm also thinking your degree in counseling that you weren't necessarily your whole life dreaming of doing, but the switch from teaching to counseling, from a biblical standpoint, I had some psychology. I had a double major. Psychology was one of them. And in a, you know, non-Christian school, there was a day that a professor in, like, a cognitive psychology class seemed like she was making the point that every sermon could talk about, that she ended her lesson to say, and with everything I have taught you today, can any one of you raise your hand to say that you still believe there's a God? And she literally asked us to raise our hands based on how she laid out the human mind and all the scientific factors involved. Can anyone here raise your hand and say there's a God in this psychology class? So I'm like dreaming of being in a psychology class that maybe didn't have that perspective. And I'll tell you, I didn't raise my hand. I didn't know what to do. I remember one other kid being in that class that seemed like he was a little itchy. But other than that, everybody just sat there silent under this professor's voice. So anyways, thinking about counseling from a biblical perspective and with theology alongside of everything, like, curious to know, like, what your hopes were with that, what you're doing with it now, and how that continued to work in you, because you're getting a benefit from what you're learning, I'm guessing, how Maggie uses this wisdom, and then how you can apply it to others as well.
Yeah, it was honestly so great. I feel like I didn't really get to get into the heart of it until, like, my junior, senior year. But, yeah, I had one professor who, she came onto staff my junior year, which is, like, such a blessing. But she was, like, everything I could ever hope to be when it comes to integrating. Because she went to school for theology, so she has, like, her MDiv. And then she also was a counselor for super long time. She's licensed, obviously, as a therapist and worked with at-risk children and all these different things. So... up until that point, I had kind of gotten, like, a big stereotype at my school for the counseling program was that it was just, like, super liberal and they don't actually, you know, talk about the Bible. It's just psychology. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten like a little bit of that. And then like, boom, junior year, she popped in and like integrated these things super well. Mm. So I'm so thankful for that because she set me up for like knowing what I wanted to learn about and how I wanted to do things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think my biggest interests were like neuropsychology and just like learning how obviously the Lord created our minds and our mm-hmm. bodies and how they're, they complement one another and how they're so intertwined and how like our experiences in life can change our brain and our body and how that can impact our relationships. And, I loved learning about like family systems and that's something I'm still super interested in. Mm-hmm. And ultimately just like through a lot of different experiences, I became super passionate about working with kids who have experienced sexual trauma. I had like a phase where I was super into like trafficking because we had a major at school we had a major called Ministry to Victims of Sexual Exploitation.
Wow.
And so I was kind of like, oh, let me learn about this. So mm-hmm. through that and then just like a lot of different experiences in life came to that conclusion. And so I feel like once I understood this is what I want to do, everything I learned about within counseling, like all those different things kind of helped me equip me for like, okay, yes, this is very clearly what the Lord has brought me here for. Just mm-hmm. kind of combining, like, I wanted to be a teacher because I love children. It is my favorite mm-hmm. thing in the entire world to be with kids and to help them and love them and care for them. And then also this passion for like learning and mm-hmm. Understanding people and how they work and understanding families and people groups and all these different things. So yeah, that makes me so sad to hear your
My
college
professor.
Experience. Yeah. Because I just know that if I had been at a secular school, I would have continued in education and I never would have like unlocked this whole
yes.
side of me that I love learning
wow.
about and I'm super passionate about.
Okay. Well, so, if anyone's listening and they've been having that itch with all the things we talk about at Grace recently with like, if you want to go into full-time ministry or just learn more and take some of these Grace College classes, it sounds like Maggie is pushing you toward yes here. This is your sign.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people
fulfilling.
Think, yeah. And I think a lot of people think like, oh, you know, I can't do like theology. That's whatever.
Yeah.
But really it is like, you know, so much more than you think you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can tell me what you believe about salvation, like that's theology. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Step one. Like, and so I think when you can understand how that impacts every other piece of your life, like mm-hmm. that was one of the greatest things I learned in college. And to answer your other question, I'm not doing anything with it now, which is so terribly, horribly
Yet.
Sad.
Right.
But
this time.
Yeah. So it was just kind of a crazy transition. I was planning on staying in Chicago and just wasn't finding a job, wasn't mm-hmm. working out. So I came here and my job at Grace now is not counseling related at all. But this next fall, I'm going to start my master's work because you can't really do a ton without being licensed.
That was another
class
I remember taking, careers in psychology, and the answer was nothing unless you at least get your master's and most likely a PhD and, mm-hmm. and more. So.
Yes. So I'm starting the next piece of the journey this fall. So I'm super, super looking forward to that because I miss school and I love school. So,
well, you sound like the opposite of someone we interviewed recently, which was Austin Shanawer, who struggled
mm-hmm.
through, and he would say, I mean, when you were saying, like, you know, it might be intimidating to study theology, and go listen to Austin's episode if you haven't already, listeners, because if he can make it through, anybody can make it through. And I think he'd say that of himself.
That's funny.
So he was a lot of fun and encouraging around that as well. But so you're at Grace now. What do you do at Grace?
I am the project manager for the director of administration, which is a really long title for no reason. But basically my boss is in charge of like facilities, risk management, finance, HR, like all these different things. So I honestly do a lot of stuff with like buildings
mm-hmm.
and building maintenance and like new campuses and like all the, I'm in charge of like all the policies and like reviewing them and like, it's so hard to describe because there's so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I work for every campus technically.
Oh,
so
cool.
I kind of
like the 30 and 30.
Yes. Technically
department.
I'm 30 and 30 staff.
I don't know if that's a department, but
it
feels like it in my heart. So,
I do a lot of different things. Just pretty much anything that my boss needs a project done for, I do it. So, so it's kind of cool to get to work with a lot of different campuses. And like I said before, I actually go to, Medina East campus. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's cool to get to just, like, kind of be a tiny piece of like what every campus is doing and like really get to know and understand whether it's like helping a ministry do something that like is maybe related to our department or, you know, figuring out something with their building or, you know, safety team. I do a lot of safety team stuff.
this is blowing my mind based on how much you said you love kids and how much you love people and relationships and how humans work together. Oh, I work on buildings and growth and it's just so funny to me.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe you're learning something new that's going to prepare you for something else that we just don't even have any vision for right now.
Yeah. I feel like I've learned a lot about like how to be in a professional environment, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I'm learning more, like, skills from my job versus, like, actual, like,
output.
Practical things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's, like, so completely not what I thought I would be doing. But, yeah, I'm very thankful for where I'm at, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've kind of caught up to current day, is that right?
Yeah.
With your career and everything. What else, like, what hopes or dreams do you have for the future, relationships, what other, like, pieces of you are there to share?
Yeah. Hopes and dreams, like, they feel so big and unattainable when I think about them. And then somebody asked me, Pastor Brad asked me recently, like, okay, so what are the hopes and dreams? And I kind of like shared everything and I was like, that just doesn't seem so big. Like when I say it out loud, but yeah, so I really want to become a counselor and I would like, honestly, just my entire hope for my life is to be able to help kids and to love them and care for them. So yeah, I would love to work for some sort of like parachurch ministry that deals with like at-risk children or children who have been impacted by sexual abuse or just like all these different things and be kind of like a counselor for that ministry. It's kind of like a common thing I've seen in a lot of ministries. So that's what I would love to do. Yeah, and obviously, huge surprise, I would love to be a mother.
I didn't do that math until this moment.
Have a million children and adopt a million babies and, you know, all these different things. And, yeah, that's, like, the biggest thing, I feel like. Smaller, more fun things, I would love to live in the South. I always, like, joke about it, but that's, like, you know, my greatest dream in life. I want to live by the Smoky Mountains.
Ooh, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, so that... I love to travel. I love to travel. Those are kind of, it feels like so, you know, the things that you like bring to the Lord that feels so huge because you want them so bad and you don't have them. And then when you say them out loud, it's like, oh, yeah.
That seems, so, we could bring that down to earth and put it in our pocket and move toward the goal for sure.
I feel like one big thing is like, I am not in a relationship.
Okay.
And.
Did you hear that, everybody? Maggie.
Newsflash, we exist. Yeah. So I feel like that's been like, it was like super hard to navigate when I was at a Bible college where like people joke about like ring by spring, but genuinely like I went to 10 weddings last year and that was just the ones I was invited to.
Getting your MRS degree, I've heard it said as well.
Yeah, for real. So it was like really hard to navigate in college, but I thought like, oh, it'll be easier, you know, now that I'm done. But then when you're like post-grad, still in a Christian community, and it's like, oh, everyone that is around me is like 20 or married or like a freshman in college or they already have 3 kids, like just all these different things. So I feel like that's been like a super, super difficult piece of life, not only in like college, but also throughout the last year. So yeah, I feel like that's like a facet of who I am that's like maybe a little bit unique that a lot of people can probably, well, not, doesn't seem like a lot, but I feel like a lot of people can probably relate
there
to the struggle.
There's a lot of people that can relate to that struggle of many ages too, you know, whether it's because they've never had a relationship or they've lost a relationship for any reason. You know, there's a lot of people that can relate to that, that desire of their heart, right? Lord, you know the desires of my heart, please, please give it to me. So thanks for sharing that. Well, I want to also share the way that I first met you and tell our audience about our fun little shenanigans that we got into. So Maggie was at the women's retreat and was recruited to be part of our opening act where we always
Shout out Jocelyn.
Shout out Jocelyn for hooking that that up and reeling you in, because we need, actually, another shout out to another episode is Cynthia Terry, who recently came out. So we talked about that in her episode, but she was our boomer.
Our queen.
And you were our
Gen Z.
Our Gen Z. And so, again, if you listen to Cynthia's, she brought the spunk, she brought the sock hop, she brought records, and a poodle skirt. And Maggie, tell us what you brought to that event.
I was like a Snapchat filter, and I brought a Build-A-Bear, and I talked about a little bit of, like, One Direction and, like, High School Musical, and, yeah, I had some glitter.
Some party filter
thrown on my face and body and everywhere.
The girl sprinkled gold shreds everywhere she walked that weekend. There was literally a chair the next day that I was sitting in that was covered in gold glitter. And I was like, oh, Maggie's been here
because they threw glitter my mark, all over you. Yeah.
Oh, it was so fun. So this is all simply a promotional moment for the women's retreat. Because we just, you never know what's going to happen. And maybe you'll get pulled on stage if you're listening to us here today and be involved in something fun. But thank you, by the way, for that, for your commitment.
So fun.
Cool. Awesome. Well, anything else that is on your heart to share with our listeners about lessons that you've learned or hope that you want to share?
Honestly, I kind of want to go back to the singleness thing because I just have so much to say about it.
Please do.
And it's something that, like, where the Lord has ministered the most to me. I'm trying to think. It just feels like there's so much. I'm trying to figure out how to kind of funnel it in. I feel like a lot of girls, whether it's, like, even obviously high school, college, my age, probably older, I don't really know, just kind of feel, like you said, like the desire of my heart. And either have this, like, belief that that's never going to happen to me because X, Y, and Z, that is, like, not enough about me. Or, you know, well, I want this so badly, and it's, like, a holy desire, so God's going to give it to me. Eventually, I just have to, like, do this more and, like, achieve this more and be more this and stop doing this and, like, perfectly craft myself to be, like, worthy of getting married, you know? And then my life will just be, like, perfect and fantastic and nothing will ever happen that's bad ever again.
Ooh, danger, danger.
And, yeah, I feel like there's just so many different beliefs surrounding it that, like, a lot of girls don't really vocalize, but they believe. And it's such a place where the enemy can, like, trick us into believing all these different things that are so not true and that are, like, not what the Lord has designed for us. So... And it's something that's been, like, really popping up a lot recently where the Lord has really been teaching me kind of a new thing about it. Because I feel like most of the time it's not really at the forefront of my attention because I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I'm just going to continue to be faithful and that's going to be a lifelong thing. So I'm just going to keep doing that. But recently it's been, like, genuinely really hard, which, yeah, isn't, like, super typical. And I actually went down to our town center campus in Atlanta like 2 weeks ago, to do their, to help with their budget meeting. Super random.
Totally using that counseling degree.
Yes. Super. So yeah. So I heard Pastor David Black was preaching and he was talking about the parable of, can't remember the name, but in Matthew 20, when it's like the boss guy offers, he grabs these different guys and he's like, okay, work a 9-to-5 for me and I'll give you X amount of money. And they're like, okay, perfect. And then at the end of the day at like 4 p.m., you know, he grabs a few other guys and it's like, hey, work the rest of the day for me and I'll give you X amount of money. And they're like, okay, great. So then they all come to get paid and all the guys who worked all day are like, okay, sweet. Like, we're getting a ton of money because we worked super long. And then he gives them all the same amount of money. And those guys come to him and they're like, what's up? We just worked all this time and these people got the same exact amount of money as us. And he tells them, like, who are you to tell me what to do with what I have given you? Like, are you not grateful for what I gave you, what I promised? I gave you what I told you I was going to do. And... So David was just talking about how we still kind of view everything as like, well, I did this, so I deserve this. And we don't, we look at things through like our human perspective mm-hmm. of like what is fair and what is just, and kind of forgetting the fact that like if things in God's economy were actually fair,
right,
we would be dead in our sins. Yeah. And so he was just talking about how, you know, if we believe that truly like someone can be on their deathbed and they've, you know, mm-hmm. killed 75 people in their life and whatever, and they mm-hmm. can still accept Christ and go to heaven when they die, and we can live our whole lives for Jesus and we can be in the same place as that person.
Yeah.
That's why we love Jesus, because it's not fair. Yeah. And because we are given something that we do not deserve.
Yeah.
And so he was just talking about it as far as like how we view our life through that lens mm-hmm. of like, you know, with desiring a spouse, for example, like, okay, well, you know, I really worked on myself for like 5 years and I was like super disciplined and I had so much self-control and I was like so kind and giving and generous and like, you know, I'm such a good friend, and yet I look at all these people in my life who are given a relationship or marriage or children and they don't deserve it, and mm-hmm. I do. And even if we're not, you know, like directly saying that to sure. the Lord, like that's kind of how at least I know I have definitely thought about it at mm-hmm. times. Like, no, God, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. Like, if not now, eventually, like, we both know that I deserve this and it's only fair, so you're going to give it to me.
Yeah, well, that's an honest, very honest yes, thought to share, for
and
sure.
The other thing he talked about was, like, you know, we recognize that things aren't always going to be fair, mm-hmm. You know, with, like, the person on their deathbed versus us, that whole right. thing. We recognize that things aren't always going to be fair, but then our next question to the Lord is, like, why me? You know, like, okay, I get that it's not going to be fair. Why does it have to be me that mm-hmm. goes through this thing? And that just honestly had me, like, dead in my tracks. I was, like, rooted in my seat, like, this is what the Lord had for me. Mm-hmm. Because I had just been struggling with it so much recently, and it was all those things. Like, I deserve this. I don't understand why this is happening to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Lord just showed me, like, girl, that is so not what it's about. And if, like I said, if it really was fair, like, you would not be where you are.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if I'll ever understand. Like, I said to my best friend, like, I don't ever want to be one of those people that gets up on my wedding day and is like, oh, it was, like, so worth the wait. Because, you know, that was hard.
Yeah.
But genuinely, like, I think even if I never understand why, and even if the Lord never allows me to be married, mm-hmm. I can confidently look back on my life, and I mean, I'm only 23, so mm-hmm. I don't know how long this will last, but I can look back and say, like, I would not have learned dependence on Christ if it hadn't been for this thing. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have learned that, like, that's just not everything that life is about. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're someone who is created to be very, like, loving and huge emotions and loves people and community, it feels like just a natural progression of your life. Well, like, of course this is going to happen to me. But I think especially in the last year, the Lord has taught me so much about how to actually be faithful and have joy even when you don't have anything that you want and mm-hmm. that you've been asking for, and your life is not the way that you pictured it. And I think even if, you know, 20 years down the line, I'm married and I have kids and, you know, have all these things that I quote unquote like wanted, there's still going to be things about life that I'm discontented with. And I'm like, God, why is this not happening? I'm still going to have to be faithful. I'm still going to have to be yes. perseverant. I'm still yes. going to have to work hard to find like joy and contentment and peace in my life, no matter the situation. And so I think over the last like year, that's something that the Lord has taught me so much, that, it's the thing that makes you actually faithful is when you're not happy with your circumstances and you choose to persevere and continue to be disciplined in seeking the Lord and mm-hmm. seeking his kingdom first. And yeah, that is just my word to all the girlies yeah. or guys out there
sure.
Who feel like, you know, maybe that is you. Like, okay, God, secretly you're thinking like, okay, I deserve this. Like, mm-hmm. this is unfair. Why does everyone have this and not me? And I mean, I'm only 23. I can't imagine how that would feel if you're, you know, much older mm-hmm. than that. And I just think like such a big part of why God is that he is mystery. There is parts of him that we're not going to understand in this life. And it wouldn't be good if we understood everything about who he is. Yeah. And, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of pieces of our life that we don't understand why he has ordained it this way. But, you know, just like I said, forming that faith now that's going to set you up for the rest of your life of, you know, there's this one verse. Let me find it.
While you're looking for it, I'll just echo what you're saying. I remember somebody telling me, I'm so thankful that I don't understand the God of the universe. Yes. Like, I'm so thankful that the God I serve is more than I could even fathom or understand. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, that's simple enough that a human could have done it. And
that's why
mystery,
he's God and we're not.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I found it. It's James 1:2. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Perfect
and I think
and
that's,
complete.
Yeah, that applies whether you're, you know, 23 and unmarried and you want to be, or whether you're 45 and you have a million kids and, you know, it's still the work of sanctification that the Lord is doing in your life in making you more like him and making you holy as he is holy, making you perfect and complete, that's never going to change, regardless of your circumstances. And I think the enemy can kind of get us to focus too much on our, like, goals in this world and
the
care,
timing of those
and the timing,
order
our
and
timeline.
All those, right, precisely.
And care too much about, like, how we have ordered things in our life. And it makes us neglect, like, the greater calling that the Lord has placed on our lives for his kingdom and for eternity. Mm-hmm. And I think this specific thing is something that, like, so many young people and older people, too, like, struggle with. And it's a way that I think the enemy can cause us to see things so much smaller than what the Lord has for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... Ooh, that's my thing.
Preach, girl, preach. Yes, I'm feeling it.
Thank you, girl.
Gosh, I mean, you sound like Paul. Like, you sound like the books of the Bible that are speaking that wisdom of just, you know, I don't know, contentment being the solution to everything, and finding that in our lives is the way to actually have that joy versus happiness, right? Happiness can fluctuate with circumstance versus joy is consistent and unchanging. And at the beginning of this part of our conversation, you were talking about your questions of if I need to be more of this or more of that, or and then you just talked about being perfectly whole, complete through Jesus, not through ourselves, not through our efforts, not through what we can earn or do or try more, right?
Like,
that's certainly a worldly perspective and something that's very easy for us to wrap our minds around and to hear in media and in television and anything else, socials and all that kind of stuff. But in God's economy, it's a completely different formula. Mm-hmm. And that question that you were reflecting from that sermon in Georgia of, like, well, why me? I've also heard it said to replace the why with what. Like, all right, God, so it is me, but what can you do with this? How can you use this? What can this do to show glory for you? Again, like that in James. So count it all joy. Okay, great. Then if this is a hard time, let me find you in it. Where can I see you? So where are you? What can we use? What can be used for you, furthering your kingdom versus the victim? Why me in this?
And you're not just in the waiting room. Like,
right.
It's now.
Get
it's
out
happening.
There.
Like, this is not just like the middle phase until you get to have the things you want. Mm-hmm. Like, he is still, you know, working
moving,
in your
yes.
life and moving
totally.
In your life now just as much as he will maybe then, you know?
Remember those really lame, like, Christianese t-shirts that's, like, one thing, but it's meant to look like another thing? Like, I don't know. this one stuck with me. It's from, like, 1999. I remember seeing it, and it was so lame, but it just still makes me giggle a little. But it was this, like, workout bar on his shirt, and it said weight training. And but it was like WAIT training, but it's meant to make you stronger. And I don't know, that stuck with me so hard. Like, it actually is true. Like, we can be in weight training patience and mm-hmm. perseverance and all the goodness that James continues on to say that we get out of this endurance through faithfulness in these hard mm-hmm. times in order to get to the points that he leads us to, whether it's what we expected or not. Yeah. If we can seek him, find those treasures that mm-hmm. even when it feels dark, we can still seek those treasures.
Yeah.
I also do want to mention the importance of community, because you've said it a few times, of the yeah. friends that would be honest with you and would be like, all right, yes. hey, girl, let's take this train of thought. Let's put some, actually seek Jesus in it and change your perspective a little bit, hear you mm-hmm. honestly, but then also share back honestly. So I think that's probably, I don't know if you have a community like that that's really been helping you through or just staying by your side, but I think that's a really important part as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, that's what I always tell. I have a cousin who's 16 and my sister's 18, and that's what I always tell them. Like, genuinely, my girlfriends changed mm-hmm. my life. Like, mm-hmm. I would not be who I am without being literally formed by them. Sure. And obviously a big part of that was like living with them at school. But mm-hmm. It's just so naive to think that you can like do it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just made me so much more mm-hmm. and so much better and so much like more of what the Lord has called me to be because of my
right.
female friendships.
Yes. They're able to
and guy friendships too. Like yeah. that has been a huge part of my life yeah. too. But yeah, I don't have like a ton of community here, but okay. I feel like because I had it in abundance in yeah. school, it's not a huge thing that
a
I'm
big
like
void.
It doesn't right, feel like yeah. a big void. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, one of the things we always like to say with Unscripted is that you can reach out to us if you're listening to this, if you have similar thoughts to Maggie, if there's anything that she's like poking on here that's like you feel it and you want to talk through that with somebody. Maybe you've got a nephew or a brother or somebody like that. Hey, I'm just saying, we're taking all kinds of recommendations here, but you can reach out to us at unscripted@graceohio.org. We'll get you connected either to Maggie if you want to talk with her directly or anybody on staff at Grace, because there's a lot of ways. Maybe you're single, maybe you're single again for whatever reason. There's things that we can talk through with you. So we're happy to do that. So reach out to us if there's anything that is on your heart today. But also, Maggie, we want to add your song to the Unscripted Worship yes. playlist. So we have a Spotify playlist, folks. If you're listening to this, go on to Spotify and look up Unscripted Worship, I believe is the name of the playlist. And it's just a really cool collection of the hearts of our unscripted guests all in one playlist. If you're looking for a good road trip songs or work or anything like that, look it up. But Maggie, what would you like to add?
Yes. Well, I haven't met anyone at Grace who knows this band, and it was like big when I was in college. So I don't okay. know where the disconnect is there, but it's called City of Light. My favorite song is Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
Okay, tell me more about it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I, like, led worship a lot in college at school, and it was just, like, always the one that I did. I've listened to it so much throughout, like, some of the worst times in my life. And my favorite lyric of the song is, I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. And it's just, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just will, I think it will just be my favorite worship song for the literal rest of my life. So go listen to City of Light. Nobody knows them. They're just like this little Australian church.
I feel like somebody else just brought this up recently.
Really?
I'm flipping through my notebook. I want to say it was Heidi Bogue.
Oh, okay.
But one of her kids had introduced her to it. Okay. I'm going to have to go back and listen to her episode. So we're shouting her out here as well. Yes. Listen to the end and find out what she said. But that's the only other time I've heard of that band. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was her. I don't see it here in my notes right away. But
so fantastic.
Oh, wait, no. Oops. Okay, no, it was Deb Curtis.
I knew that's what you were going to say. I knew it had to be her.
I found it. Oh, and it's Yet Not I, But Christ in Me.
Period.
Same song.
Deb is like my soul sister in so many ways.
Clearly.
So that does not surprise me.
She's your worship song sister, too.
She's my girl. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. How fun. All right, Deb Curtis. Look her up, guys.
I love you, Deb.
And she lands at the same point. You guys are, now that I'm thinking about it, you're tracking. Okay.
Thank you. Such a compliment.
Wonderful. Okay, so City of Light. I need to look them up for a number of reasons now, for sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Maggie, I know it's not easy to spill your beans of your life story on a microphone. First podcast ever, I understand.
Yeah, so we're I love just, to talk, so.
Yeah, let's keep going. Actually, we do have to go. No, but thank you so much. Maggie and I will see all of you, ladies at least, at the Women's Retreat
yes.
next year. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Audrey.